Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus, and I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malshine, and we interrupt our dogged Britney Spears reporting to bring a special bulletin on The Real Housewives, an expose that came out on the quote-unquote reality reckoning in Vanity Fair. We're going to go through all the astrology. So, Sarah, you read this expose. You don't watch all the shows. This is actually normally when we don't watch something that we're talking about, I say, let's not say it. Let's pretend right. You watch it. But this time, I think it's valuable because I know what the entire Bravosphere is thinking. What did you think about this expose?
First of all, I thought it was interesting that from what it seems, there are lawsuits that have been going on in the background this whole time. I was surprised that, like, to me, the Ebony racism story and the Leah McSweeney relapse story are the two most damning for the network. You know, maybe the racism one was sort of inevitable and necessary, but I sort of think it's odd that they would even cast someone who had such a difficult relationship with substances. Like, it just seems a little bit like setting her up for disaster. I also think the larger message of the whole article was like, they all know when they sign up for this, like, they do know what they're signing up for, and ultimately they all find that it's worth it, which is sort of interesting. I mean, it really is just like with everything, it's like, you know, we all just get to pick and choose in what ways we dysregulate our nervous systems and to what end. And so it's interesting here that it's like there's a lot of, I think, acknowledgement of the self-sacrifice that goes into being a housewife, but then there's also this feeling of like, but this is the best thing I could think of doing. So I thought that was sort of interesting. I think the big question of the article is just sort of like, what is Andy's responsibility here, and like, what is production's responsibility? I think it's probably very necessary, and or at the very least, I think it's probably good on Bravo's image that they're having like alcohol training upcoming. But it's like, this isn't, I don't know if this is much of an alcohol training issue as much as they're just covering their asses, because at the end of the day, the more alcoholic the cast seems to get, the better the show. So I'm not sure what they hope to learn. It seems like they know everything. They're just doing it on purpose. So I don't know. I mean, it just, my largest takeaway was just like, wow, how dysfunctional, and what a perfect just like microcosm for our entire culture.
Yeah, how dysfunctional is true, but it's also not, I think that the biggest overarching reaction in the Bravo sphere with the Bravo fandom is we already knew all of this stuff pretty much. And like, we all know that it's dysfunctional. Most people are set, like, from what I've seen, and I'm on the Bravo subreddits, I am on the Instagrams, I am doggedly refreshing to see what the latest opinions are. Most people are like, yeah, the Ebony stuff and the Ramona racism is,
yeah,
completely uncalled for, and there's no excuse for it.
It's uncalled for. It also is, without it being fueled by external substances, a very real, like, Ramona's point of view is very real. Like, that point of view of like, I just don't want to talk about race. And it's like, well, of course you don't. And then for her to then bring up race every chance, what is your boyfriend black? It's just like the whole thing with Ramona, like, even though it's unnecessary and it's really not, it's extremely unkind. It also is the kind of ignorance that I do think long-term we can learn from.
Well, I know, I agree with that. I think that a lot of people probably did learn from that season, even though it was not entertaining. But the thing that was kind of interesting and was a revelation in the story about the racism stuff, first of all, was Ramona's treatment of the producer. That wasn't really known. And second of all, the thing that I found really interesting was Andy's message saying, wow, I can't believe we are getting an episode with Ramona learning about white fragility that ends with her texting Bryan Cranston. This is amazing. So first of all, they cut out the part where she texts Bryan Cranston, and I'm dying to know what that was about. But second of all, I think Andy and I think the powers that be at Bravo thought that Ramona learning about racism was going to be just as entertaining as Ramona secretly not inviting Sonia to her birthday party and not knowing it was caught on camera. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I think there was a disconnect between they thought that they could have the same tone as previous seasons and the same treatment of the race stuff on camera.
Yeah.
And it didn't come off that way. People were horrified by what they were seeing. It was not fun.
But isn't that sort of like what Ramona's larger, like Ramona would have tried to argue, I imagine, like, I don't even want to talk about this because it's not fun. It's like, well, she's right about that, but it's also not fun because it's like, it's like too real. Like, I think part of what the alcohol provides as like a sort of silent castmate is that like, it all is fun because it's also sort of, yeah, to have all of these socialites like shitting and pissing the bed is a bit unreal.
Yeah. Also, they've tackled a lot of other dark subjects across all of the franchises. This is not the first time, like, but for some reason, the racism stuff was a bridge too far for the viewers. Like, people just were like, no, this is not fun. Even though we've seen abusive relationships, we've seen financial crimes, we've seen Jen Shah stealing from the elderly. But this was the that season in New York was people just were like, this is not entertainment. But the thing about the alcohol is there are a lot of franchises where they don't rely on alcohol as much. And New York only became a bunch of booze hounds over the past, like, 5 years until the new version, which half of them don't even drink. So the alcohol thing is really new. And I'm interested to hear you say that you think Leah had a case because most people disagree. Do you know that she relapsed before she joined the show?
They were sort of trying to, I thought she was being vague about when she had her relapse, and that Andy was almost like hoping that like we got it on the show. And like,
see, I thought it was unfair to say that he seemed disappointed when he found out she relapsed off camera, because
right.
What do you mean he seemed disappointed? That's so unfair.
Well, and it's also just an that's a total interpretation.
Yeah. The thing is, like, Leah probably shouldn't have, and I've interviewed Leah about 3 times. She's really nice.
So that was what I was going to ask you about too. Yeah. Like, you actually, this is one housewife that you know.
Yeah. I know most of the New York ones, the OGs crazy. At least, but I mean, I don't know them. I'm not friends with them, but I've met them in a business capacity, interviewing them and stuff. But Leah, like, I think the takeaway for most people who are big Bravo fans and who have seen the seasons with the Leah story was just, here's a person who shouldn't have been on a reality show. Like,
well, that was the thing. Like, when I was reading it, even like this article, I don't know who was to blame, but it's like, she shouldn't have been cast. Like, this is clearly someone who's putting their life at jeopardy for this. Like,
well, but according to her, yeah.
According to her. And I guess, but in a way, though, that's sort of what they all kind of feel, which is that, like, yeah, this is really bad and really hard on mental health, and really, you know, the downsides are many, but they're all worth the upsides. It seems to be like the overwhelming consensus.
Well, the person saying that it's worth the upsides was anonymous, and everyone thinks it was Heather Gay because the vocal patterns match, and just the what she was saying, like the one of the comments that the anonymous housewife made was like, at BravoCon, oh my God, how am I ever going to be happy again after experiencing this like adoration and love? It just seems like something Heather would say. Like, Heather is very transparent about the fact that like this is, she's living her dream and she feels so lucky to be on the Housewives. She's a fangirl and the talent. So like, it seems like it was her, but Leah, it was interesting, like for her to even disclose that they paid her $250,000 to go on Ultimate Girls Trip. I was like, they paid you 250 grand to go to Thailand for a week and you're still like, what are you unhappy about? Like, do you know how much psychological like fuckery I would deal with for 250 grand for a week of my life?
Dude, totally. Well, and I thought it was interesting to see the, like, because we always joke about how like this is just like another job track. Like they're on the corporate Housewives cast track. And it was interesting to hear that like she had gone from $3,000 an episode to $250,000 for a week, where it's like, oh, they are like keeping people, like they're rewarding talent, like they're rewarding people for their participation and people like are getting promotions.
Yeah.
And it is like, it really is just like a job. Like that is their job.
Yeah. And I don't know what else you're going to make that much money for a week of work at doing. Like most of these people don't have careers that are that lucrative off of the show. But I think a lot of the stuff that they pointed out with the Leah thing, with the Leah stuff, was in poor taste. Like, having them use her name as a drinking game on Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
Like, and stuff like that. But also, you kind of have to keep in mind that, like, when she was on her first and second season,
did she join?
12. And then she was on for 13 as well. So she was, and she admits in the story that she was playing down her history of addiction and recovery and relapse. She was not using that terminology. So it's kind of like,
whose responsibility is it? Like, that's your
right. What did you expect? Was production supposed to read between the lines? Like, it does make more sense that when she went on Ultimate Girls Trip, it was clear that she had been more open about the fact that she had relapsed and now she was sober again and she was going to AA. So like the stuff that people said to her on that trip definitely is more over the line. But before that happened, it's like, well,
she was sort of just trying to hide that this was even an issue.
Right. Because she, and like, I don't know. I just think she's suing them for disability violations.
Yeah. And I'm like, which feels like a reach to me.
I know. I don't know what the disability is.
Is it alcoholism? Is it addiction?
Apparently, based on one of the subreddits that I was reading, there is, in the Americans with Disabilities Act, and don't quote me on this because it's third-hand knowledge from an anonymous Redditor, but they said in the Americans with Disabilities Act, there is substance use disorder like regulations and qualifications. Like, you do have to make some workplace adjustments for substance use disorders. And I don't know what those would be, but my other question for her would be like, okay, so if they hadn't hired you to begin with because they thought they shouldn't because you were mid relapse, would that be discrimination based on a disability?
Right. Like, specifically wanting to cast people who will drink, if you're an alcoholic, are they discriminating against you?
But Bethany, like, for instance, Bethany was never drunk on camera. Like,
really? Her restraint never fails. Restraint and also explosive nature. But like, man, when she can restrain, she restrains. That's insane.
They overplayed the drinking a little bit in this story because the housewives really do choose whether they want to drink on camera or not. And if someone has a drinking problem, are you supposed to fire them? That seems illegal.
Well, right. If the minute that we make addiction part of the official disabilities statutes in America, then you could sue one way or the other. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, no if you're doing a cooking show and it's, you need audience that's going to eat meat, you're not getting discriminated against by being a vegetarian. It's just not a match.
Right. Exactly. And like I said, there are plenty of shows where drinking doesn't even factor into it whatsoever. And like, you know, no one made Leah pee the bed in Mexico. Like,
right.
And also, it's a little bit weird how much Sonia's drinking factors into this story when she ostensibly didn't even seem to have participated in the story. But also, reading between the lines as a journalist, at no point did they say Sonia Morgan declined to comment. So I'm sorry. Hold on.
Yeah, I was wondering why we heard from who we heard from, like, because they reference a lot of people. Then there was the anonymous house stuff. It's like, why would someone choose to be anonymous? Why would someone choose to be interviewed? And why would somebody not be interviewed but mentioned?
Right. Sorry, I have to put my child back on my boob.
While you're doing that, you want to know what I learned Leah McSweeney chart?
Yes.
Same sun, same moon as Raquel.
Oh my God. Oh.
Virgo sun, Sag moon. Kind of an interesting... Can you draw a parallel between the storylines of Leah and Raquel, knowing that they both are Virgo sun, Sag moons?
Yeah, not the storylines, but the fallout. Absolutely. These are both people who are being accused by fans of not taking personal responsibility for their actions on camera.
Interesting.
Both of them, like, that's what everyone's saying about Leah. They're like, you were going through something and you decided to go on television. You're a grown woman. And now, like, you can't sue for that. And people said the same thing to Raquel. So that's really interesting.
Yeah.
But with Sonia, I wonder if she participated behind the scenes, because, like I said, it at no point in the story did it say that they had reached out to Sonia for comment. So, like, if they had reached out and she had declined to comment, they would have put that in there. But if she is a person who confirmed certain things behind the scenes, then they wouldn't put that in there. But I also just can't see her participating because she's still collecting paychecks from Bravo. And right. I don't think she holds Bravo responsible for her drinking whatsoever. I really don't. Like, I think, and she actually, something that she did for the last few seasons that she was on was she would get really drunk during the season and then she would dry out afterwards. She would go on like retreats and not drink anymore. So like, she was conscious, choosing to drink when cameras were up, and then
that's so interesting, like, to basically to have like a season, like, on in season I drink, off season I don't drink.
Literally.
I sort of love that. I kind of get that.
Yeah, and like, she doesn't seem to be bothered. Like, she seems to have picked that and it's a rhythm that she decided works for her.
I actually kind of like that, because I also get where, like, even like shooting this might be more interesting. Like, it is boring. Like, I don't know. I get where alcohol would be helpful in all areas in this world.
Yeah. And also, I have to say, some of the times it seemed like in New York in the last few seasons, some of them were actually maybe overplaying their drunkenness, because these women are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they are almost never visibly hungover. So sometimes I'm just like, and people are like, oh, it's because they do coke. And it's like, no, if you're doing coke at that age, you're going to be
You still
shot
have a hangover.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, it's Adderall. And I'm like, no, that also has a point of diminishing returns.
Absolutely.
Like, when you first start taking Adderall, it does kill your hangovers, but that doesn't last forever. So,
Right. And also, if anything, yeah, there's a crash no matter what. Like, even if it's not a hangover, there's a crash.
Yeah. So, like, I think some of the time they play up the drunkenness. They pretend they're more drunk even than they are, like, just to be funny.
And well, it's funny, too, like, to think, like, I'm going to pretend to be drunk so that I can be, like, as racist as possible. And then I don't have drinking.
Right. Ramona's never drunk.
Whoa, that's a bad look. Ramona's going to want to start drinking if she's going to continue to be on TV.
I know she drinks, but she's never one of the sloppy people that's, like, you know, making the drunkenness a part of her persona or her hijinks.
Yeah, she,
like,
might want to start. She might want to start doing that just to cover her own ass.
You should be like, you know what? I was blacked out for all of season 13.
Yeah, it was barely me. I don't remember any of it.
Yeah. What did you think about Jill Zarin? So Jill's big grievance with Bravo is that she wanted. It's really confusing because she says that she invited Bravo to film certain aspects of her husband's funeral. She was no longer on the cast when that was happening. Mm-hmm. She and Bethany had not spoken in years. And what ended up happening was Bethany and the camera crew showed up outside of the funeral and recorded Bethany speaking to Jill. Jill was not mic'd. Bethany's mic picked up whatever Jill was saying. And now Jill has revealed a few months ago on Bethany's podcast, actually, she revealed that she actually had no idea that production was going to show up outside the funeral. Now, Andy, production, they say, we have emails from your assistant inviting us to come. And you invited us to come to the Shiva and we decided not to do it, not to do that. So, like, I guess what she's saying is they never confirmed that they were going to come. And then they ambushed her. So I don't know. I guess what's your take on that? It's definitely slimy, but again, well, not illegal.
I guess the first thing I want to say, just as a contextual note, as a baseline note, re Jill Zarin, is that she is a chart twin of your sister. So Sag, Sun, Gemini, Moon, Jill Zarin, like Casey.
That's so funny.
Thought that was fun.
They're nothing alike.
No, I don't think they're. I mean, that's where it goes. I mean, Jill is a Aquarius rising, so she's much more, I think, disconnected from. Jill feels more like an alien that's like being witnessed, whereas Casey's more of a past life competitor coming back to play, if that makes any sense. But like,
interesting.
I feel like Jill. Well, okay, so. Right. Jill is just upset that they didn't confirm. She wouldn't have minded them being there. Two things. Number one, if she knew they were coming, but I think also if she was featured. I think what she's really saying without saying it is like, or I think maybe what she's expressing is like, you're just using me, but you don't really care about me. So it's like, I invited you, even though she wasn't actually even on that season, but she's like, I invited you. I could have been a star for this part. And instead you're like, you're Bethany's the vehicle. And like, you're just using this funeral as like a, you know, as like a backdrop for a storyline, which, yeah, is it? I agree with you completely. Is it a little bit shady? For sure. But like, yeah, it's, I mean, duh. I don't know. I would be annoyed if I didn't get a heads up that I was going to be filmed. But also if I put out the invite to people or to a camera crew to film it, even in more depth than they ended up doing, I don't know if I would have a leg to stand on, because it's not like the crew, like, she didn't have to like figure for more catering. Like, it sounds like I didn't see it, but it sounds like this popped in and out, and yeah. They don't want to go to the Shiva. That's genuinely bad television. Like, you know, yeah. I really would not want to see, like, I get where this was about Bethany, not about her. And I could see where from an ego perspective, she was like, well, wait, like, don't use my husband's funeral as a place to talk about Bethany. But it's like, that's what it is. And
she's, you know, cast member.
Yeah. Like, why did Jill stop being a cast member?
She got fired.
So I think that must be part of it too, where she's like, you guys, yeah, like, don't fire me. So yeah, like, that's the context. It's like, don't fire me and then use, although in a way it's kind of like, that's what you get. And the housewives go where the housewives go.
And why did you trust them anyway?
Why did you trust them anyway? And why did you invite them in the first place if you had bad blood? It's like, if anything, that's like such a ploy to try to get, like, to me, really, now that we're talking it out, it's like, oh, so basically Jill was trying to use her husband's death as a way to get back in.
A little bit. And since that happened, she's also gone on Ultimate Girls Trip last year or 2 years ago. She was like, so that's what's so interesting about this.
She's not like barred from the community. She just didn't get recast as a cast member.
She was for a while. She was persona non grata because she apparently went on Watch What Happens Live and recorded her whole conversation with Andy so that she would have evidence if in case they edited it in some way. And she, and like, they found out that she was doing that and they were like, what the hell, this is weird. So I don't know, but I think you're right that like the takeaway is these women are, and this was the takeaway from the book Not All Diamonds and Rosé as well, which is a great oral history of all of the shows. They do all become addicted. And it's, yeah, kind of like this abusive parent child relationship where all the women are like, wait, but why are you still kind of exploiting me? Like, why am I not, why am I not getting final edit? Why does my opinion not matter? And it's like, that's the game. It just is.
I'd be sort of curious. So the first Real Housewives was OC, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to look real quick. I'm just curious when the first episode first aired, because I'd like to look at that chart, because it's sort of like that is the thing that started this whole thing. And I'm just curious about what the like, I'll pull that up while we can talk about something else, but I'm just going to check real quick, because I am very curious about like what the actual, okay, so here we go. Meet the Housewives, March 21st, 2026. Okay, let me just pull this up real quick.
My favorite thing about Real Housewives of Orange County is that it was sort of this weird hybrid, like spook, like reality version of Desperate Housewives and the OC.
Yes.
It turned into this, like, you know, juggernaut. And it was just such a random concept. I don't know. I love it.
I mean, did you watch Desperate Housewives? I used to fucking love Desperate Housewives.
No, I think I'm going to start, though.
It's so... Oh, my God. I will, like, rewatch with you. It's one of the best... It's, like, watching it was part of, like, why I wanted to make television. Like, I just couldn't have loved it more. I hope it holds up. I fucking loved it.
I think it does. A lot of people still watch it.
It's so good.
Who else was in this story, though, while you're looking?
I guess... Okay, so I lied. The other thing that really shocked me was this story between Brandy Glanville assaulting Manzo? What's the deal with that?
I know, it's not surprising at all. Brandy, like, she sexually harasses people constantly on camera. And in fact, a lot of the women do. It's very weird.
That is very weird. And if that's not something that's getting attention now, I'm not sure. Maybe that's just what's next. I guess, like, it explains a little bit about... Explains a little bit the casting of this current New York season, because like it does seem like on some level there's been some learning and adjusting from the Bravo production team, you know, like.
I'm sorry.
No, she's welcome. I love a third mic. Get on the mic. She's so cute. I love her little voice. That's okay. I'm pulling this up anyway. I'm kind of curious. Yeah, it just seems like the current Housewives of New York are, in whatever way, trying to undo some of the like bad reputation of seasons past. Like they all are a little bit not like, okay, sure. Maybe they're not all like housewives and like, maybe they're not even all drinking, but like they definitely are. Yeah. It's a bit more tame, I think, than the other seasons have been.
Way more tame. It seems like they're trying to elevate the franchise,
yeah.
And it's like, well, what do you think this, I mean, it flies in the face of what the
right.
show has always been.
Right.
And the really ironic thing is that actually after they recast it, one of the women, Lizzie Savetsky, she stopped shooting like a couple weeks in because allegedly her husband did basically the exact same thing Ramona did. He said to somebody, such and such thing would be like me saying the N-word, and he said it.
Oh no.
To a member of production, and then they kicked this woman. That's allegedly what happened, and they kicked this woman off. So it's like it's just so funny, they keep running into the same issues even after they've tried to like racism proof the cast.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Well, right, like no matter how much more highbrow or sober the cast mates are, we still can't seem to find that and people that are not racist. It's like, wow, that's pretty telling.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this is really interesting. Wow, this is really interesting. Huh. The day that the Real Housewives of Orange County debuted, March 21st, 2006, the sun was exactly conjunct the North Node in Aries, where it is now, and where Andy's sun and North Node are.
What?
Wow. That's really interesting.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Well, first of all, it means that we are revisiting this franchise in terms of like, okay, so now it's been through like a whole cycle of it's been through like a whole cycle of...
How many years ago was that? Almost 20 years ago.
Well, that's what eclipse cycles are, 18 years. So it would be 18 years, you know, around that, between 17 and 19 years, but it's like 18 years essentially. And, you know, so we're basically here at the beginning again. There's been a whole karmic cycle that this show, like the show has had a whole life. And now it's like, okay, but now we're revisiting and it's interesting. It's like, yeah, we're revisiting and we're asking ourselves, like, what is the point? The other interesting thing is that on the day that this aired, the moon was exactly conjunct Pluto in Sagittarius. So this show really was like a whole new thing that it was going to take the world by storm and become a franchise, but it was going to have a powerful life, like that was the moon conjunct Pluto, truly hitting some real unconscious nerve that we were all yearning for and that we were all kind of like, in a way, the Housewives franchise set us all free because we could just sit at home and turn on this OC drama and feel like we were a part of this like higher echelon than we for the most part are. Chiron was with Ceres and Venus in Aquarius, so this was the birth of, but also playing off of, wounds that we would televise around Ceres women, Venus women. It's a really interesting, Leo, Saturn was in Leo, so the work of this show, the karma of this show, is to build upon the performative natures of women. Mars was in Gemini, so it's all about the action that goes on between women or between characters. I mean, the chart of the beginning of the show is sort of perfect, but I do think it's interesting that we're coming into the show's nodal alignment. So the fate of the show is in the balance right now, is being weighed in the balance. And it's not necessarily that it's going to end or that it's not going to go on, but it's definitely, you know, whenever we have nodal alignments, fate is setting us course. Fate is setting the course straight. It's bringing us back to the right direction. Even if we had gone off the course for a minute and it became about racism or forcing relapses or whatever anyone's claiming, now we're back to this North Node in Aries alignment where it's like, okay, wait a second. Like, what is the actual thing that is going to make this franchise not only continue on moving forward, but like that makes it, you know, because at the time, I think when this aired, it really was a unique, you're right, it was a reality show, but like Desperate Housewives. And like, I feel like now this larger question that the show is asking is like, and Andy is really asking himself, is like, how do I continue to lead in a new Aries, new way? How do I chart new territory? Because it seems like on some level, what it's been, I don't want to say that it's played out or it's playing itself out, but it's sort of like, it's not novel anymore. And I think Andy's purpose, the Housewives franchise purpose, both with their suns and North Nodes in Aries, are really here to chart new territory and introduce us to spark new beginnings in the, you know, larger landscape. So it'll be interesting to see sort of like what the outcome of, I mean, is this the first time in the last 18 years or so that Bravo is being sued?
No.
Like for this?
NeNe sued them. Okay. And I'm sure tons of people have sued them. And it seems like NeNe didn't want to participate in this story. A lot of people were like, why didn't they ask NeNe? And I'm sure they did. But
what did she sue them for?
I think racial discrimination.
Hmm.
And I'm sure they have been sued a gazillion times. You know how easy it is to sue someone.
I think it's interesting that now is when we're getting these quote unquote exposés that anybody that's in the Bravoverse is like, yeah, we know. Yeah, they're obviously all drinking.
But they're not all drinking, Sarah. Also, they're not.
Well, they're not all drinking. Okay, so
some people are deciding to drink and get wasted on camera, and others never do.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The vibe that I got from Leah's sharing was like, I feel like the whole article, there was a lot of examples of like, the producers like gave her a shot as she was pissing in the woods. And like people were, there was a lot of, I feel like the emphasis from the article was like, Or the message, one of the messages of the article was like, they want you to be drunk. Like, they encourage you to be drunk. So even if people are choosing or not to choose to drink, that I felt like there was sort of this sense of like, yeah, at least it's fun. Or like, I miss when you're not drinking. Or like, it's fun to be drunk with you. Like, they make it is more fun when everyone's drunk. So, you know, hypothetically. But I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's Bravo's fault is the thing.
The producers don't hand them drinks though. Like they stock the fridge, but right. like they're not doing that. And, you know, when they said to her, you need to bring it, she interpreted that as get drunk and throw tiki torches. And it's like,
right. She interpreted that. Right.
It's like, well, no, there's so many
You could be just be high energy.
Right. Like it was her choice and her interpretation to do that. And like in that scene, she's one of those people who I think if you watch her scenes where she's supposed to be really drunk, to me, it comes across a little bit like,
drunk.
Yeah. Like a high schooler who had one beer for the first time and just gets really, Yeah. Like gets really hyper. Do you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, everyone drinking is different. Like she's never slurring and she's never sloppy. She's just acting like a maniac. So I don't know, maybe that's the way she is when she's drunk, but like, to me, like the tiki torch thing, it's like, yeah, you were trying to make a good scene for television. You could have done it sober, right. but you decided to drink. And I don't know. And then, you know, the part where she throws a ravioli at Ramona, someone called her the next day and was like, you need to be lucid. Like that was too much. So it's,
I guess I just wonder then like, okay, so then, okay. Cause to me, the biggest takeaway from the article as like a non Bravo light was sort of like, oh wow, like behind the scenes, like it gets really chaotic and like these women are all feeling pressure to drink and wow, like racism permeates whether we like it or not. Like I don't know, I guess like, right, like what is the point of the article then? And like who cares, like who cares then that this is all going on? I mean, is it just to support Bethany's case that there need to be unions? Because I do think that reality unions is helpful. I think it's great that now that they've I think it's great that they've added on like alcohol training as if but alcohol training into the mix. It's like, sure. Okay. But like, yeah. What do you think what is the point then? Who cares?
Here's the thing. Bethany is pissed because Bravo passed on her latest idea for a TV show. Right. She was starting to shoot something that Bravo does a lot of the time when they're doing a new Real Housewives franchise is they frame it as something else to the women that they're casting. Like they said to the New York women, oh, we're going to do a show called Manhattan Moms. And then only later after they shot the whole first season, they were like, JK, you're now the second Real Housewives franchise. Same thing with Potomac, yeah. Same thing with Miami. Like they, I don't know if they do it on purpose, but to get better people, because a lot of people don't want to be associated with Real Housewives, but it happens time and time again. So Bethany shared a story on her podcast about how she lives mostly in Connecticut now. And she pitched Bravo a TV show about her life and like her life in Connecticut. And Bravo was like, okay, yeah, we're in. And then they were like, we want to add a few more women. One of them was Eva Amuri, which is like, I think Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Oh my God. That's literally. Yeah.
And
oh
a bunch of other people. And they were like, we're actually going to make it an ensemble. And I think Bethany detected what was going on. She was like, oh, they're
Real Housewives of Connecticut.
Yeah, she was like, it's gonna be Real Housewives of Greenwich or whatever. And she was like, yeah, screw you guys, like I'm not doing this. So she pulled like whatever her contract was, I guess she was able to pull the concept, and she was really pissed at Bravo. So that was one part of it. Another part of it was she went on Watch What Happens Live probably like this time last year to talk about her new podcast, which is called Rewives, which was about like revisiting the housewives. And basically Andy and this guy, Michael Rapaport, they sort of called her out on the air. They were like, you always talk about how like real, you kind of imply that Real Housewives is beneath you and you brag about how you left. So why now are you dipping back into the Real Housewives pond? And she got really, really offended. And now she has an axe to grind and she's just hated Andy ever since. So she ended up cloaking it in this unionization thing, which is a great cause and it's needed, but not.
It does seem needed. Right. But you're saying it is needed and she's trying to make that the thing so that she can still be in a fight with Bravo, even though she's upset about a list of other things.
Exactly. And like this story, I don't know what unionization would change about any of the anecdotes in here. I guess maybe.
Well, that's my question, right? Like, what is Bravo's responsibility? What would anyone's responsibility be? If you're in a union, but you choose to, the union didn't protect, well, I guess I don't want to bring up Chandler, I guess, but it's like the union has nothing to do with whether celebrities choose to drink before they go perform on a sitcom.
Right. I guess what it would be is like you would have a union rep who, you know, whenever I was an extra on productions in New York, I was an extra on, what's it called? That guy, the hot guy, it was like, I don't remember what the show was, but it was like Luther or something. No. Ray Donovan. That's what it was.
Oh, I love Ray Donovan.
Ray Donovan. And
cool. There was the white Luther.
Yeah, I guess so. There was a union rep there, and she was yelling at someone because we weren't given enough time for a break or something. And I guess what you would have if you had a reality star union would be a union rep sitting and watching some of the interactions between cast and producers and stuff like that, and seeing if they're encouraging too much drinking or if they're saying things that are racially insensitive. Like, I guess you would have, because the thing is, like, when you're the paid talent, you are in a position where it can be hard to advocate for yourself. So if there was a union, there would be probably more, you know, calcified, organized rules about substance abuse and racism. And you would have a person who would be able to advocate for you if the rules are not being followed. Because like me as an extra on the set of Ray Donovan, I didn't even notice that we didn't get a break, because journalism, you don't even get a fucking lunch break. I was like, LOL, I get a break from standing around waiting to film. I get a break from my break. Like, what are you talking about?
Doing nothing. Right.
Yeah, it's amazing. But like, I as an extra, I would never confront the director or the AD and be like, we didn't get our break. You need the rep to do that. Do you know what I mean? So like, I think that but again, the story didn't go into that at all. And it didn't seem like,
right. That's what I guess when I almost been like, fuck this episode. Should we not? Like, cause it's almost like the story is enough. It is a nothing burger. It's like, it's just people complaining about where they're at. And I guess the other piece of it, if we bring it to the reality reckoning conversation with a union supervisor, is like, but in real life, and this is the Real Housewives, there isn't someone being like, that was racist. Like, those conversations are real. And people, right, choosing to drink and act foolish is not that it's what makes it good, but it is the reality of that moment. And that is what the promise of the show is. Well, like, I don't know if having a chaperone is actually.
I don't think what I'm talking about wouldn't be someone who's monitoring what happens on camera. It would be someone monitoring the interactions between the producers and the talent.
Oh,
like that seems to be the biggest.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was one thing where Leah did have a leg to stand on with, like, them saying to her, you need to bring it, and like, you were more fun last season and blah blah blah. Like, having someone to be like, wait a minute, you guys shouldn't talk to her like that, that sounds like you're encouraging a person who's in recovery to get drunk. Like, but then at the same time, like, yeah, where she gets all the text messages from Marisol and all those other people about why aren't you drinking, like, yeah, that a union wouldn't solve, because what are they gonna do? Like, yeah, your point.
Right. The only thing to me a union would be helpful for is just like residuals.
Yeah, residuals. But I do think that having someone monitor the interactions between producers and the cast is good.
Yeah. You would think that Bravo would want that anyway, just to cover their own ass. Like, it's a liability not to have that.
Now they might. It hasn't been a liability until literally this year. Like, this is the first time it's become a conversation. Like, before this, it was just, you know what I mean? Like, it
what's so crazy though about even just this article is that like Andy's brilliant, and like, I misspoke. His Saturn is conjunct his North Node in Aries. So he is coming up upon he does need to bring this show and the network in a new direction either way, because that is his life's work. But he is a Gemini, duh. But what I was going to say before is like, I can't imagine Andy opening this article and being anything but pleased that the franchise is just getting some press. Like, it's like, this is like this beast feeds itself, because the baseline of like moral code is so low or sort of non-existent almost. Like anything that you say about this show creates interest around the show. So this wasn't damning enough that like anything's gonna happen, and it wasn't salacious enough that we're gonna be like sending it around to, did you check this out? It's, yeah, like per your point, like even as a non-Bravo head, Bravo head, what is the word, Bravo-lite?
I don't know.
Bravo-lario? As someone that's not frequenting the Bravo sphere, I didn't even learn them. I'm like, okay, yeah, so they're all like upset about certain things.
And yeah, and like
sort of unrelated, and it's just a little bit chaotic at times because this is the Real Housewives. The producers love the chaos. It's like, so?
For the three that talked for this story, the four really, because Jill counts, there are dozens more who don't want to lose the opportunity and want to stay on. And that doesn't mean that it's right. That doesn't mean that the more fucked up things that production has done are excusable, but it's just like a lot of people are happy with the way it's working.
And like everything has a trade-off. If you work in the...
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and t-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Coal mine, you might get a pension, but you're also going to get the black lung.
Right. Like if you get, like I said, if you gave me $250,000 to go to Thailand, oh my God.
Sign me up.
Absolutely. I'd do it tomorrow. I would leave my newborn just because then I could pay for her college.
Yeah. Literally though, like I didn't think this article was like damning in any way. I guess like it's not even interesting. That's the thing. It's like what I was going to say is like, well, the interesting thing, but I don't know if it's like, no shit that the Ramona's racist season wasn't fun, but it is part of the reality of.
Yeah, I think the issue with that was more the behind the scenes stuff and the fact that Ramona has been hired. Now she's about to be on her third like spinoff show since this happened. So.
Oh. So they're basically saying like she's racist, but that's who she is. Like they're kind of agreeing with Ramona, like, but it's not fun to focus on that. Let Ramona be Ramona. She's a draw.
The thing that's really fucked up about it is like, what do they not hire black crew members on the new seasons that Ramona's in?
Well, it seems like that a little bit.
Or do they just hire them and assume that she's going to humiliate them at some point? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right, they didn't really say that she had learned from,
she denied everything.
If you didn't read the article, there was a, she like ignored the existence of
several black crew members, and she said at one point, none of you can change your hair because I won't recognize you, and just like crazy shit.
But then she tried to use a white example. Then she tried to be like, look, I thought Jason Kelsey was Dax Shepard.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, Ramona, you are an asshole to everybody, but guess what? It's 2023 and you have to develop some racial sensitivity. Like just because right. you're an asshole to white people too, doesn't mean right. that you can say things that are triggering to minorities. Like,
right.
I don't know. And so that, but that is the issue. Like, they are still hiring her and they're not still hiring Ebony. And they're probably not still hiring the Black producer who was quoted in the story. So that's what's fucked up. Like, they detonated that entire show and recast it only to move Ramona to a different diocese. Like, this is the Catholic Church and she's a molesting priest, you know? Like,
I was just gonna say, like, if this is just so, maybe this is like in some way healing for the Catholic Church though, because it's like we kind of have this like an in real time view of like what happens when you're a part of the institution, when you're a beloved part of the institution. Like, we'll do what we can to keep you here.
Yeah,
like I we're really seeing it from the inside. Like, But she's Ramona.
And she was on Watch What Happens.
She's a classic.
She was on Watch What Happens Live last week.
Wow, yeah. And so there's really, so basically the thing is, like, there's no punishment for any sort of, it's almost like Bravo is trying to take a simply fly on the wall point of view when they actually have an opportunity to affect economic status and exposure of certain talents over others.
And Ebony was great. Like, I loved watching Ebony.
Yeah, but I get why she wouldn't want to come back.
I feel like she probably would have come back if they had.
You think, did she get fired or did she quit?
I don't remember, but I think if they had tried to put her in the reboot, she would have come back. I think she said in the story, like, she either said in the story or in a podcast I listened to that, like, she was hoping to come back for a second season and focus less on social justice stuff, because I think they gave her a directive to focus on that.
Right.
It was right after George Floyd summer, and they knew that it was, sparks were going to fly between her and the older ladies because they knew these ladies were ignorant. They just didn't count on the fact that the audience was going to absolutely hate it. So, like, it's not Ebony's fault. Ebony also, like, she used to work for Fox News. Like, she's actually not that, like, liberal or left wing. Like,
I'm actually on her Wikipedia right now, and I'm just simply based on this, I'm shocked that they didn't bring her back for 14.
They should have.
She actually is the perfect anchor. She's the perfect anchor for the new cast. Like, she should have been the OG.
Yeah.
To give her a little bit of, like, just support and cushion and clout to sort of welcome the new women. Yeah, I'm curious about what happened. I'm curious about the behind the scenes more with Ebony. I mean, side note, kind of interesting, Ebony's also a Virgo.
Wow. Okay. Well, what happened with Ebony is they don't want a squeaky wheel. They don't want someone who is going to complain about stuff, which is really fucked up. Like, if Ebony wanted to sue them for racial discrimination, I'm sure she would have a pretty good case for it, because, like, that would,
right.
I mean, it seems pretty obvious that, like, they didn't like that she didn't want to be treated like shit by Ramona. But who else is a Virgo? Let's do the astrology. Tell me what you can tell me about all these people.
Well, so I'm just going to sort of read to you. As I was reading the article, I would pause and jot down who was being mentioned and then just write down their sun and moon and rising if I had it and the nodes. Leah McSweeney, Virgo sun.
Now, I have to say, from when I used to do the moon yule and I would do my presentations, Virgo is like one of the least reality star signs. Like, there, Virgo is not a sign of reality stars. So this is really funny. And these people are disgruntled reality stars. They're like, we hate it, burn it all down. Because, like, I mean, maybe they're just not that good at it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's go that way then. What Virgos are on this list from this article? Leah, Virgo sun. Ebony Williams, Virgo sun. Caroline Manzo, Virgo sun.
What?
So those three Virgos are exactly what you're saying. It's people that ultimately had problems being on reality TV.
Yeah. And now I'm trying to find who are some successful Bravo Virgos.
Raquel Virgo. Ariana Maddox, Virgo moon.
Camille Grammer is a Virgo.
She didn't have the longest tenure. She kind of petered out, I feel.
She was in and out because people hated her. And she was shocked when she was the villain her first season. She had no idea that she was the villain. And then she watched the show and she was like, what?
I think it makes a lot of sense for Virgos to be villains in the reality TV sphere, because they're so above the
board. Yeah.
There's, like, even with Leah McSweeney and whatever we want to say about the fuckery that she's trying to sort of, or whatever picture she's trying to repaint or whatever blame she's trying to place, at the end of the day, if she had just stayed in recovery, in her Virgo sun recovery zone, she would not have, she maybe would not have relapsed. She would not have, but I guess that's the point. I guess that is the point of the article, that ultimately Leah still is better for everything that she went through, embarrassing herself and peeing the bed on these shows, because we have never heard about her clothing brand otherwise.
They didn't even show her peeing the bed. That wasn't even in the show. It's like, why?
Oh, so that was really the point of the article. Just like, by the way, she peed.
Yeah, that's, it's just like, yeah. Girl, why are you posting your own L's?
Literally.
Like, they knew that that was, like, too embarrassing and gross, and they didn't include it in the show. Like, and then she had another part where she was like, oh, Sonia was filmed puking and urinating, and they didn't put it in the show. And it's like,
yeah,
okay, they didn't put it in the show. So what's your beef? Like, they actually decided not to humiliate you guys as much as they could have.
Right, like, nobody's doing boot and rally and then bragging about it. Just boot and rally and go back out there.
Yeah, it's really, it's funny because, like, it's just proving the opposite point of what I think she's hoping to prove. It's just like,
totally.
Okay, so they actually do have a line, and they do have, like, ways of protecting the cast when they become their own worst enemy. Okay. I want to read a couple more of these Virgos because they're all villains.
Yeah,
all people who have been fired and come back and gone away. Tamara from OC.
Okay.
Lala Kent, villain.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa and Nicole, the twins from New Jersey.
Okay.
Giselle Bryant, who is, she's a successful villain. She's not always a villain, but she's definitely the most successful one on this list in terms of housewives. Caroline Fleming from Ladies of London. Oh my God, one of my favorite shows ever. Croy Bierman is a Virgo.
Okay, we know that.
And the rest of them, oh, Lisa Vanderpump. So Vanderpump, Kim Richards, very troubled
Kim.
Virgo.
Kim.
So Vanderpump and Giselle are the only two Virgos who haven't really their lives were not ruined by Real Housewives. All the other Virgos are kind of like if you're a Virgo, I don't think you should go on Real Housewives.
It's interesting. All the Virgos on this show are the ones that are the Virgos that need to like go into recovery. Like,
yeah.
Like this is like reality. If you're a Virgo on reality TV, unless you're Vanderpump, you need to really like check in with yourself. What are you doing there? And what substance are you abusing that this will ultimately lead to? Like, really, I feel like all the Virgos are here against their best interest.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Which is pretty interesting. I'm not surprised that in this list that was in the article, at least, there is a lot of Sag energy. There's a lot of Scorpio energy. And it's interesting, too, just like Scorpio and Sag energy, you know, they come one after the other. But to me, it's that 1-2 punch that maketh reality TV ith goodeth, because Scorpio is like the secrets that and the constraint and the like, it's the like Bethany is like quintessential Scorpio. Yeah. Ramona, Scorpio sun. Brandy Glanville, Scorpio sun.
I didn't know Brandy was a Scorpio. She doesn't give me Scorpio.
Let me double check that I got that right, but I'm pretty sure. Let me double check. You know, my notes aren't that neat, but Scorpio. Yeah. So there's a lot of, so I feel like the Scorpio Sag is that combination of castmates is very much a reality TV 1-2 punch, because it's like Scorpio is like, I mean, okay, Brandy doesn't necessarily like scream Scorpio, but she is the one that is getting a little bit too crunk and then groping. You're telling me there's multiple,
yeah.
like she is assaulting the other girls, like,
yeah, and like wait staff.
I can't.
They all have an issue.
And wait staff.
Across the series, they all have an issue with sexually harassing male waiters, trainers, tennis coaches. Like, it's really, that's another thing where a union rep would step in and be like, hey, we actually can't have you sexually harass this 19-year-old cater waiter on camera, which would be great for everyone if that would end.
Right. I guess that's where, like, right, like a union worker might
step
find
in
her place. Yeah.
Just like when you see crimes in progress. to have someone step in, because the producer,
good Samaritan clause.
Yeah, the producers aren't going to step in because it's great TV in their opinion. I hate it. I think it's gross. I also think it's gross when the women get physical in physical arguments.
I think it's I hate to see that. That's like, if I'm going to watch like gruesome television, I'd rather it be high stakes. That's, I guess that's the thing. I really don't enjoy watching. Yeah. People sexually harass the waiters, and I don't enjoy watching women like turntables and throw punches. Like that makes, that's like too real. I hate it. I'm like, I would rather see a weird guy with glasses murder and eat your brain than two neighbors fist fighting in the New Jersey. Like I don't know. Like that's darker to me than murder.
They finally this year on Jersey, two of the women got in a physical altercation and they suspended them for a few weeks. And I'm like, good.
Now that's finally. Interesting.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, that's a real change actually.
And I'm sure it was partially because of Bethany raising a stink. So like there are some good things that are going to come of this. There really are. And there are things that shouldn't happen. Like if I was on one of these shows and someone put their hands on me, I would sue them for assault. And I would sue.
Well, like, so I guess that's the question really though. It's like, at what, like what is and is not the network's responsibility and what is and is not like court worthy.
Right. The fact that no one steps in when people, like if someone starts to approach someone and no one from production steps in and shuts it down.
Even on Mari, when bitches were like, I'm not the fuck.
Yeah.
People were swinging. Somebody, the security would come in.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me more about, the Scorpio energy and how it manifests in this situation.
Scorpio is, it's interesting to me, like Ramona, for example. Ramona is a Scorpio sun, Taurus moon.
Ramona and Bethany absolutely hate each other, by the way. And they're both the biggest Scorpios in the world.
So interesting. Yeah. Okay, so Bethany's, mirrors. Bethany's a Scorpio sun, Capricorn moon. Ramona's a Scorpio sun, Taurus moon. So their charts aren't so different, but it is the difference, I think, between Taurus energy and Capricorn energy. Taurus energy is a little bit like, I'd rather not know I'm racist. Just let me be. Yeah. Whereas Capricorn energy is like, you don't want to do my show? We're starting a motherfucking union and lawsuits. That is like literally the essential difference. Like
you're a Capricorn like, moon, right?
I certainly am.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I'm a Capricorn moon through and through. And like, that's the thing. Sun, moon, rising energy does manifest very differently. Like, and what I also find fascinating, very few Capricorn suns in the Bravo sphere.
I know it makes me sad because so far. You know, I would love
Yeah, but let it make you happy. If anything, you can be the one, but I think it's a real feather in the Capricorn's cap. That they're not like relegating themselves. It's like, I feel like Capricorn sons are like, we'll just be the CEO of Bravo if that's okay.
Yeah, but I would love it. I think I would be so good on Real Housewives of New York. I really think I would be great at it.
Gotta live in New York.
I know. I would London? Go back in a minute. I mean, if they redid Ladies of London, I'd also be amazing at that.
You'd be amazing at that. Also as the like token New Yorker.
Yeah. I would not be good at Real Housewives of New Jersey, despite being from New Jersey.
I actually might be okay at that actually.
But they're so, here's the thing.
They're violent, but I'm not violent. I hate violence, but I also am pretty violent.
They're aggressive and they're dumb.
Yeah. Right. Which I think I could fuck with that. I think I'm aggressive. No, my mother. That's what we are.
Like the only one who's really smart or witty is Margaret, and she's become evil the last couple seasons. So like there's just no fun in the New Jersey fights anymore. It's like, you know, and it never was that fun. It was always like New Jersey is Taurus. New Jersey is Taurus because Teresa's a Taurus and she's like the linchpin of the whole show. It's the most Taurian energy of any show.
Sometimes I think about a question that we have both contemplated frequently on this pod and at the Munials, which is like, why and how are Taurans like actually so like militant and dictatorial and like homicidal and genocidal? And I think it's because Taurus energy, and it's so Teresa, Taurus energy is like generating energy. Scorpio energy is regenerating energy. So when you're asking about Scorpio energy within at least the article, We're talking about Bethany. We're talking about Brandy. We're talking about Ramona. These are all women who are taking what is there and making the best or worst of it. In this case, I would say maybe making the worst of it, but they're using what's there to create, like you said, Bethany wouldn't be going on this reality renegade if she wasn't actually reacting to something else. Ramona isn't walking around saying the N-word, but when faced with a Black crew or a Black castmate or whatever, then it comes out because it shows, because it's now there. Scorpio isn't generating energy. It's regenerating energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I also wouldn't assume that Ramona's not walking around saying the N-word. And she's a big MAGA gal.
That does track. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
It's really weird because, like, the focus of Ramona's racism is saying it, like, her real raison d'etre in terms of why she's racist.
You mean her racist d'etre?
Yeah, her racist d'etre seems to be like she really wants to combat the narrative that, like, Black people have it hard in America.
Yes, yes.
It's really a weirdly specific type of racism. She's like, well, no, I mean, it's not, you know, like, she's just like, well, I was called the Catholic slur, which was shiksa, which is not a slur. And the producer...
It's not a slur!
And the producer straight up goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like... And Ramona's like, oh, it's like if someone were to call you the N-word, only she said the N-word. It's like, Ramona, you know that is not the same. Like, you know in your heart of hearts that is not the same thing. Why do you seem so dead set on trying to convince yourself and others that, like, Black people are not oppressed and or that That's right. you are as oppressed as the average Black woman? Like, why is this so important to you? I think it's one of those things where a lot, and you see a lot of white people who grow up kind of working class or in poverty do this, to say, well, I had it hard too, which she did. She had an extremely abusive, evil father. And I think maybe with people like her, and this isn't to make an excuse, it's just to kind of notice a pattern. With people like her, like, I feel like she feels unheard in her struggle with her abusive dad. And she feels maybe resentful that people will give the Black struggle time of day more so now than, like, they used to. Like, she's kind of like, wait, why are we talking about that when my life was also hard? And it's like, well, yeah, Ramona, your life was hard in a certain way, but, like, we're not talking about that right now. And this is what happened in the infamous season 13 episode Black Shabbat. Ebony and this woman,
I already love the name, Montclair. That should be the log line for the town, Black Shabbat.
It should, yeah.
That's Montclair, New Jersey, Black Shabbat.
The woman lived in Summit who was hosting it, actually. But
okay,
this woman and Ebony hosted a Black Shabbat dinner, and and Ramona's entire dinner being like there's this, oh my god, Sarah, it's horrific. You should get high and watch it. I would love to hear your thoughts. But
okay.
At one point, there's this woman there. She's a Black woman and she's pregnant and she's talking about her previous birth. And she's talking about the fact that when she was giving birth, they wouldn't believe her that she had really bad pain from her fibroids and they wouldn't give her drugs for it. And she brings up a statistic. She's like, there are studies that show that Black women's pain is not taken as seriously by the medical community. And Ramona interrupts her and is like, well, the same thing happened to me and I'm white. So, and the woman is like, it's a demographic issue. Like, there's studies that prove this. It's not just me and it's not just you. Yes, sure, it happened to you too, but, like, that doesn't disprove this. But, like, that's Ramona's whole thing, is like, well, I've had it hard too. And that's what's so, it's so frustrating, because it's like, no one's saying that you didn't, is the thing.
Ramona is a Scorpio Sun, Scorpio Mercury, Scorpio Neptune, Scorpio North Node. her north node is exactly to the degree conjunct her Mercury. Ramona's purpose is to lead us into the interworkings of the behind the scenes of like, how do I put it? She is meant to be saying all of the fucked up shit that she says in public, because she actually is educational at large. The reason that she is opposed to at large is because if she goes into the at large conversation, her speaking is completely interconnected with her exposing some deeper, darker truth that even she might not want to recognize, because she actually is a Taurus moon. So she would much rather not go deep, but she can't help but go deep, even if she doesn't want to be going deep.
Yeah, that's interesting, because she physically cannot shut the fuck up about it. Like, when you're watching her at Black Shabbat, when you're watching her at this picnic table in the Hamptons, where she and Luann get mad at Ebony for saying that she's the most educated person in the room when she is. Like, you're just watching Ramona and you're like, girl, shut up. Shut up. Like, just shut your mouth. All you have to do is not talk right now. You can have the most racist thought in your head, and if you just keep it in there, no one's going to know, and you're not going to be the villain, and your show will continue another season. But she just physically cannot shut up.
And honestly, she shouldn't, because, like, if she were younger, here's the thing. A younger Ramona might have been able to shut up. A younger Ramona with her south node in Taurus and her moon in Taurus might have been, like, a little bit more it's hard to explain. It's, like, into herself, but, like, her north node conjunct her Mercury means that no matter what, for the rest of her life, like, she shouldn't just shut her mouth. As, like, friend to friend, she should. But, like, at large, in terms of, like, the greater purpose of her life, she should not. Because she is literally peeking back the curve. She's, like, showing us that Oz is 5'3". That's what she's doing as a life's work. She's showing us that actually all the white, or not all the white people, but she's showing us, like, this is what racism looks like. This is what ignorance looks like. This is the white struggle when you've been abused so you can't relate to anyone else's abuse. She's showing us a very particular white narrative that people are actively trying to conceal. Her north node in Scorpio is basically showing us what she's thinking and feeling in a way that, and then her Lilith is in Aquarius. So it's like, oh yeah, she goes on TV and then it's like, you bitch, you are the villain. And it's like, yeah, but she's also just a normie who happens to be in this position and is showing us. That's why, even if it was a boring season, I've always said that I think Ramona getting into and playing this part, who was it that we were also watching? It was on the Beverly Hills season. Wasn't it Crystal that was offended and they were like, I don't even care about race? And it was like, okay, white girl. Well, who was it that you were talking about?
I had three girls in my hot tub the other day, my daughter who's white, her Chinese friend, and a black girl. And I didn't see any colors at all.
Right. Like, okay, here's another, but how interesting. Sutton, another Virgo in the mix. Let me just double check if that's correct. That makes sense. Yeah. Sutton's a Virgo.
I love Sutton, though. I really do. That was a stupid thing for her to say, but, you know, she and Crystal, they hashed it out and fixed it, I guess. And, you know, she is a 60-something white lady from the South. What else do you think? I mean, I don't see color as, like,
well, I guess that's what I'm trying to say, though. But I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I don't see color as very dumb, but I think, like, Ramona, Ree Sutton, I think that they're playing this essential boomer
Ramona is where it's like, I don't see color. Ramona is saying, I see color and your struggle is bullshit. Like, that's what...
Well, no, she's saying your struggle is same.
Yeah, she's like,
we all struggle. And it's like, Ramona, different.
You can talk about, like, you can, because we know we're beating a dead horse now. This is my question about Ramona and her, like, dharma and what her life's work is supposed to be. Is it possible that your life's work you makes you look like an idiot? Like, is that
shouldn't absolutely her absolutely
be something think, that she sees as helpful for herself?
That's such she's an just interesting a stooge question. I mean,
of the universe.
I guess the what I want to say is that we're all stooges of the universe. Side note, real quick, just because I had to check real quick. Another Virgo, though. Crystal Minkoff, Virgo Moon. Anyway. I think that one of the things that astrology is trying to, or astrology's not trying to do anything. One of the things that we can glean from the study of astrology is recognizing that we are all part of an ongoing long-term timeline of human evolution. North Node conjunct her Mercury in Scorpio at best, Ramona would actually just like would resign to private life.
But like, she has been such good TV up until she showed her ass with the racism stuff. Like, she was the MVP of New York.
Yeah, but her showing her ass with the racism stuff, whether it was bad TV or not, is...
It wasn't bad TV, I have to say. And you had said before this the season was boring. It has, like, the season had a reputation for being bad because it made people so uncomfortable.
But I'm okay with it. Yeah, yeah. And what is Scorpio, if not the transitional season?
The real issue with the season was that it was a COVID season and they live in New York. Like, all the other cities, their COVID seasons weren't as bad because they could all still shoot at each other's houses. But New York, their houses aren't physically big enough to shoot at. So the women were all like, it was literally just the five of them with no interaction with anybody else, no events to shoot, nothing. So like, I actually think that they could have had the racial conversations and the social justice stuff mixed in with a normal season of like, other things to distract from it. Like, it could have had, if it had had both, like, I think COVID is really what made that season harder to watch. Like, and I hate that Ebony gets the blame for the season being bad because Ebony was awesome. I loved watching her. Like, it sucks. And Ramona should get the blame. Like, so many people on all the Housewives like message boards and stuff are like, Ebony and Leah ruined the last season. And it's like, no, Ebony was, Ramona ruined it.
What was your take on Leah and her value in the franchise? Because I feel like the thing about Leah is that, like, she was, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, she wasn't here for long. And she's one of the most vocal ex-housewives in the game right now, right?
Yeah, I guess she is very vocal. And she was good on the show. Her first season was decent. She was definitely like polarizing, but I think she could have kept going and it would have been good. But the thing is, Leah was, each season she was on, first it was Leah and Tinsley, then it was Leah and Ebony. Just having those two people, having a little double act of younger housewives mixed in with all the older ones, sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't, because sometimes you're watching the show and you're like, what the hell are Leah and Ebony doing hanging out with Ramona? She's 60.
Right. Ebony wouldn't, even at Fox News, Ebony wouldn't find herself in such a dumbass conversation other than literally at Housewives with Ramona.
Right.
Everyone else at least can pretend to be with it.
Yeah, the shows are best when the women actually know each other.
That's right.
And when they started trying to branch down into younger women, bring younger women in,
yeah,
that started to fall apart. And sometimes it worked because you had these really fun culture clash moments. Like, in the beginning of Leah's first season, they all are talking about how much they hate her tattoos. And that was like a fun, interesting debate to watch them get into. But like, then other times you're just like, why are these ladies hanging out? This makes no sense. So the new cast, they're all younger, except Jenna Lyons is in her 50s. The rest of them are all in their 30s. Maybe there's one or two early 40s, but
oh, kill me.
It also just doesn't work either, in my opinion, because but also they should have, the problem with the new one is none of them are delusional and they're all too self-aware. They're not characters. Mm-hmm. They're all trying to look a certain way for a television show, which is like impossible to avoid now anyway, because the opportunity of being on Housewives is so great to become an influencer and just coast the rest of your life based on the fame of Housewives, even if you only last a couple seasons. Right. So it's, I think it's getting harder and harder for them to cast people who are just a Nene or a Kim Zolciak or like a person who's just a diamond in the rough, huge personality living a random life. And you put the camera on them and they just like pop. Like these, the new ladies of New York are not that whatsoever. They're not funny. The new ones, the new New York ladies are not funny.
Well, but it's like the franchise is now at its nodal return, its first nodal return. So I think that the Housewives were cast and it's been aired before, right before the nodal return. They're kind of like the finale of this like 18-year run. Now, Andy, with his Saturn in Aries and the North Node in Aries, and this, and Saturn, after it moves out of Pisces, like starting 2025, is going to move into Aries. Andy is going to have to, I want to say like renovate, but that's not the right word. He's going to have to
restructure.
Yeah, like there is a necessary, like, it's almost like just like, get back into alignment with, because I think you're completely right. At the time that this was launched in 2006, right, Desperate Housewives was like the most salacious, like, it's not even, it's sort of a sitcom, but like, you know, scripted TV show.
It was like a primetime soap, really.
Primetime soap, but it, you'll see, we should watch. I will rewatch it with you. It's funny. It's really good. Like, it really is good. Like when I was deciding in 2006, in 2006 is when I had to like decide my major. And I do think that Desperate Housewives played a huge role in why I ultimately chose film and television, because I fucking loved it. I loved it. Like it made me happy to watch because dark. It's mysterious. There's a mystery, but there's also really good jokes. Like everything about, it's like this holistically fabulous entertainment experience. So I really give Andy, also a BU alum, I give him massive credit for seeing that, recognizing that. And
it wasn't him though. It was his production team.
And what, so he was just hired?
This is the other thing that people don't realize is like Andy actually is like, he's the face of the franchise, but he's not the figurehead, and he's been involved since the beginning, but he didn't come up with the concept. And it's like Bethany gives away the fact that she really just has an axe to grind with Andy, with how much responsibility she attributes to him, because he's actually not that high up in the whole Bravo firmament. Like he's kind of
right.
Yeah, like he was an executive. He was an executive producer on a lot of the shows. He still is, but like it's not like the buck stops with him. He's not the president of Bravo. He's
right,
on-screen personality, you know.
Wow. How interesting. Yeah, like I mean, I'll say this. Bethany Frankel makes me proud to be a Capricorn moon. The other Capricorn moon in the mix is Sonia Morgan, who also is a Virgo sun. The big Virgo or the big Capricorn that I can think of this whole franchise, and I want to know how you feel as a Capricorn sun with her as your rep, is Kyle. Kyle is a Capricorn sun.
I know. I hate it because I don't like Kyle.
What do you think of that?
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it.
But I totally get, though, just from a non-judgmental point of view, where if you're going to do Housewives, you're going to be the housewife of the franchise that is the longest reign. Like she is doing it Capricorn. Like, she's the best of the Housewives.
But like,
she is.
I think, no, she's not. No, she's
who's the best?
Nene's better.
Yeah, Vicky's, but Nene is no longer there. No. Kyle has been there from the beginning of the launch of Beverly Hills, and she remains Capricorn.
Yeah, but she
still on the mountain.
Name one iconic line or meme or gif of Kyle.
Mm.
There is
wow.
A
wow. She employee. Wishes.
She's
Whoa.
An,
like, right, she's but that's the,
she's the best employee, but she's not the best television.
Right, but she is. That's, I think that is like the pain from me to you, both and both, both on both on both on both. It's why we need to build out the Space Trash empire so we can be Andy Cohen's or what we thought he was in our own right. Because I actually don't think that Capricorns are that, like, ultimately that, like, if you're going to be an employee Capricorn, Kyle is it. The real thing about Capricorn energy is that we want to be the bosses and the talent.
Right. And so, Kyle is
like, yeah.
Kyle orchestrated the demise of Lisa Vanderpump. Like, she produced her out, off of the show. I can't get
it. Say more. Say why. Okay. Okay. I yeah. Don't get it, but that's really interesting.
But like, she does, Kyle does try really hard to produce behind the scenes all the time, and you can yeah. see it. You can tell. Yeah. And
right. Like, she's frustrated, not because she's gay or not gay. It's because she's not having producer credits. And she, actually being a part of the big picture storyline.
She thinks she's the queen bee, and it's very important to her. Like, there's this one scene where they're all in Italy and Kyle's like, I wear the crown now. It's like the first season where Lisa's not in it because they go to Dolce & Gabbana and they're selling crowns, and she's like, I wear it. And the other girls are like, yeah, you do. It's the most nauseating thing ever. But yeah.
Okay, side note though, like, for the Patreon sometime, I would be kind of curious to look at the natal chart of just, like, even just the brand Dolce & Gabbana, because how has Dolce & Gabbana in this moment in time found themselves at the peak of reality TV? Like, why is Dolce & Gabbana a part of everything scandalous reality TV right now?
I don't know. I think they're just smart. They know that that's... because they have such a illustrious name, and they know that the reality shows would love to be affiliated with them.
Yeah, but I feel like, don't you think that, like, up until, like, the last few years, we kind of forgot about Dolce & Gabbana? Other than, like, they were racist and they were fucked up?
Yeah, they probably just got a new marketing department head who was like, we got to get on reality TV. Did you see Corey Gamble released a line of silk pajamas with Dolce today?
No, Dolce is, they must be just, like, losing money left and right and just needed to just, like, sell their souls to reality TV.
Yeah. Well, they, like, yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like Dolce & Gabbana has become this, because we all kind of thought it was going to be we all thought it was going to be Balenciaga because of Kim and Kanye's affiliation. And then that weird shoot, and then we don't even know who they are, and now it's Dolce. We're all fighting over who works with Dolce & Gabbana, and it's like, Dolce & Gabbana is like, we work with everybody. I literally think they must be having some serious financial issues and hired like a young somebody that knows everybody in LA, and it's just like, look, we got to make some money.
Yeah, yeah, for sure,
because otherwise they have a really bad reputation, I think.
Yeah, they do. They had a lot of racism shit a couple years ago, but it seems like everyone's kind of forgotten about it now.
Okay, last thoughts. Any final thoughts on this article and on reality TV before we sign off?
Okay. The article was a nothing burger.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I'm really glad that you came to it with the view of a layman, because I was very interested in what it would appear to be like to someone like you. It's interesting to me that you picked up on the drinking stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I think, but I'm also, I think it's also because I'm coming off of the below deck. Wait, do that lady.
Oh, Aisha.
Below dick. Below dick.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
I think it's because we're coming off the below dick rapey scandal. And yeah. I think that's, to me, that's where a union supervisor would have been helpful.
But they handled that well.
Aisha did.
But the production crew did. They stepped in and stopped it.
Yeah, they did. They did. Actually, right. In real time. That was part of why that was interesting to watch. Because it was like, the crew is telling Aisha. And like, right. But that, the only reason that the drinking, I picked up on that as the more interesting part of the article, is because of the below deck scandals. But either way, it's just kind of like, yeah, it's up to everybody to drink as much as they want. Everyone's an adult, so I don't really know that they shared anything super important in the article, other than it just proving that we just are fucking obsessed with this franchise that has been taking over our lives for the last 18 years, and we're just reading about it because we can and we want to, and we're not going to talk about it, and there's nothing to say, but we'll say it.
And like they talk about how on Love Island now they're only allowed 2 drinks a day. And it's like, that's so stupid too. Like,
I actually think that's a goddamn shame. I want to say, I think that's a goddamn shame.
I would be more likely to watch it if they were getting drunk, because that show's boring as hell. Like, I don't know. And there's
how interesting. So I don't watch. So the fact that they're not getting crunk and it's boring is actually great data.
Yeah, like there's a huge gap between 2 drinks a day and piss your pants. And like, I feel like maybe a union rep would be able to help us navigate those waters to still have good television, still accurately document people's lives, because we're documenting the lives of people who drink. Like, I don't know.
It's almost like what we need more is like an FDA rep. Like, we need someone from like
Food and Beverage Administration. Yeah. I mean, I'm for the unionization.
Or like the cops. We need someone from the police.
No. I think maybe unionization.
No cops allowed.
Yeah, no, ACAB. I for the unionization. I think it's a great idea to unionize, but I don't think that needs to include no more drinking. I don't think it needs to.
No.
Like, I think having someone there to advocate for Ebony would have been awesome. And having someone there to help Leah navigate the things she was feeling would have been really beneficial as well. So
yeah,
like, I think union reps would be a great idea. And I'm glad we're all having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of glad it was a nothing burger, because I don't think, you know, the FCC is going to be getting involved and shutting Bravo down anytime soon based on this article. Based on this article,
the franchise you know and love is safe, and that's enough for now.
Exactly.
For the Taurus moon.
Exactly. And that's, we can all process it together and move forward together and figure out.
Ramona's also grateful as a Taurus moon.
Ugh, Ramona needs to go, though. That I will say. She has got to go.
But do you get where, as a Taurus moon, she is reluctant to change her views because she just feels safe in her story?
Yeah, for sure. And I understand.
And Luann, side note, Luann, Taurus sun. That's why she thinks she's a good singer.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Why?
Because she's like, I'm comfortable now, which means I must be good.
The female Barry White. Yeah. That's what she calls herself.
She's a Sag moon. But she's a Sag. That's what she calls herself, is like, okay, but that airs on, that veers into Ramona territory a little bit. This is not Let's Get It On, Baby. But like, Leah Sag moon. Luann Sag moon.
The delusion is what we needed, though. Like, that's what this new cast is missing. No woman on the new Real Housewives of New York City would call herself the female Barry White. Like, they just,
right, they're so with it. They're painfully with it.
And like, yeah, they get it, and it's a bummer. But okay, well, thank you everyone for listening. Our next episode, we will be back on the Britney train. We've got,
can't wait,
12 more chapters. Who knows which ones will be public, which ones will be Patreon. You just have to just sit and wait with bated breath. And then we've got 12 more chapters after that. So
that's right. Molly, Sarah, chaotic. Tune in. Join the Patreon.
Patreon.com/Space Trash Podcast.
Okay, bye.
Space Trash.
Trash in space.
Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space Trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.